Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new Now Europe with Alicia and Josh. And today, it's going to be kind of an abbreviated podcast, but we didn't want to wait with these quarterfinal games now being played one a day. As we mentioned, our great summer of soccer is coming to a fizzle bout end. We didn't want to wait almost a week to post a new podcast, so we felt that an abbreviated version with post-match analysis and a look ahead to the next match, and then obviously when we get to the final match, we'll look ahead to the semifinals. But today we are here to talk about Portugal versus Poland. But before we begin, I want to bring on Miss Alicia. And Alicia, how you doing now that you got to, I believe this is the first game you were able to watch unencumbered.
Hi, I am doing well. I was just happy to have soccer back. It was a weird 2 days of, like, almost forgetting that Spain had gone out. And then I sort of woke up this morning and had this moment of realization. Oh, right. Games are back. Unencumbered. I'm not thinking about future matchups except for the enjoyment of who might get through and who might not. But this wasn't exactly the greatest match to kick us back into gear with soccer. But we got penalties out of it, I guess.
Unlike the previous Portuguese game where we were robbed, denied, just flat out hornswoggled, ripped off even out of penalties by Ricardo Quaresma's 117-minute point-blank header that gave Portugal the win in what I believe to be the most boring game. If there were a contingent of people who said soccer is boring, all they do is kick around a ball for 90 minutes, Portugal versus Hungary would have been really just exhibit A for them to get a clean verdict in court. But this game was slightly more interesting. An extremely quick goal by Robert Lewandowski. It was a really quality finish there. The ground cross had to make its way through some traffic, but I thought for his part with the defenders surrounding him that Lewandowski, well, he did what he does, man. It's what you expect a player of Lewandowski's caliber to do, obviously the Bayern lead front man. But much like England, they scored too early, didn't they, Alicia?
Scored too damn early. Yeah, it was one of those phenomenons. I didn't think Portugal defended that goal particularly well. The right back should have intercepted the cross field pass that started the move in the first place, and he just kind of whiffed on it. But you know, like you said, like Lewandowski has that moment of quality that you would expect from a player of his caliber. The problem is that Poland did that thing that teams often do when they score too early, in that they just didn't seem to want to close it out. Poland had a really nice build-up, probably 10 minutes later, had a really nice moment of build-up play where some good intricate one-touch passing around the box. It didn't really result in anything. And then after that, it was just – they were just really
kind of like a light switch flip, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, you think, like, if they produce a goal from that, it's a totally different, you know, match going forward. Obviously, goals matter a hell of a lot in games. But they didn't seem to be dangerous at any point after that. And, you know, really they let Portugal back into this game. And, you know, we talked about how terrible that game against Croatia was. I thought Portugal and Croatia were both equally at fault for how terrible it was. You know, and this time around – and it was probably because of the early goal and all that deal. Portugal seemed much more likely to get the goal after they equalized with that very nice goal.
They had a penalty shout too, which I mean, I think we're both in agreement here. That should have been a penalty.
That is
like the definition of a penalty.
Right, and that's a definite penalty. But what I think happens there is that Ronaldo's reputation gets the best of him, and I think that this is my only guess for why the ref didn't give it, because we've seen that exact penalty given in this tournament already. Is that Ronaldo feels the contact and then sort of flings his arms out a little bit, and like, it's absolutely a foul, but it's just, I think his reaction to being fouled makes it potentially, from the referee's point of view, look like maybe he was just flopping there. Maybe he was just, you know, is the defender really that stupid that he just like barged into Ronaldo like that? I think that sort of played into it. It's one of the reasons why I think flopping can be really counterproductive.
Detrimental, yeah.
Yeah, you pick up a reputation, and then you don't get the benefit when you actually do get fouled.
And I think, I hate doing this because he's getting piled on, and I would at the end of the podcast like to dedicate a minute to him. But one of the things that Sterling did very on when he first got to Manchester City is I mean, we know he gets fouled often. Everybody knows that, but. You see these moments where it's like, come on, dude, you could have stayed on your feet. Like, and to his credit, you know, Pellegrini or Aguero or whoever it was that was around him managed to start getting Sterling to stay on his feet. We saw, unfortunately, a little bit of a regression at the Euros. But then again, he won a penalty in a game that well, England, frankly, probably wishes never happened, but those types of things, you know, when you look at the penalties that have been given in this tournament, and you look at sort of the reputations that some players have entering the tournament, like, I mean, Pepe's been Pepe'd already. Like, I mean, And you've seen refs look at players who are known deck hitters. I think we have even had one or two bookings, though I could be, you know, conflating Copa America storylines. But I do believe we've had one or two bookings for simulation, because refs have been pretty on point. And, you know, The refs really don't get enough credit for how well of a job they've done in these Euros. I think even here up into the quarterfinals, and while that should have been a penalty on Ronaldo or a penalty for Ronaldo, you know, it's like you said, his reputation and sort of the way he went down. I think if Ronaldo just kind of like juts forward and hits the deck and sort of like, falls in a way that, like, I got to take one for the team here, I think he gets the call. But it was the way that he went down, like you mentioned, that sort of maybe made the ref go, I know you, Ronaldo. You might be embellishing here just a bit.
And that's the danger of sort of acting that way. And I agree with you on the Sterling point. I think if I had to guess it, I would say I wouldn't be surprised if Aguero took him aside and told him, you know, there's an art to this, right? Like, it's not diving. It's about it's about picking your spots there. And, you know, if you can stay up and get something more out of it, then do that. Like, if you just go down at every little contact, you're not going to reap the benefits. And the really intelligent players in the game sort of have a good feel for when the time to go down is and when the time isn't. It's all gamesmanship, and I know people have real issues with flopping, and you certainly should, but it's just about sort of picking your spots and knowing the right time to accentuate. And it just seemed like the ref wasn't going to take any of that from Ronaldo throughout the game.
The refs as a whole, and I'll ask you about this. You said this, and it made me think of this. The refs as a whole, like if you remember that Copa America game between Argentina, the Copa America final between Argentina and Chile, where the refs pretty much like made the game about them. I honestly feel like the refs in the Euros have really tried their best not to let stupid moments potentially be the deciding factor in a game. Like they need to be 100% sure and usually get support from either the back judge or one of the side judges for some of these calls, and they try to get them right. I've been impressed with that. They haven't allowed a lot of these games, and there have been close games and some really tricky situations that maybe a lesser degree of referee might have missed and called a foul that wasn't. I mean, you look at that save. I can't remember who did it, but I think it was in the Ireland game, where dude just came down. No, it was Ragnar Gunnarsson Ragnar from Iceland, where he came down when England was on the breakaway, and he slid in with that left leg at oh man, I do not know like how much better or worse you could have timed that tackle. But it was a PK waiting to happen if he didn't get it precisely right. And he got it right. And, you know, other refs may have taken a bad angle and given that to England. And England might have come out with a W in a game that they were, truthfully, we can say unequivocally, they had no business with. And it's worth to, I think, we crap on officiating so much. I just kind of wanted to take a moment to applaud these officials for not allowing these, and I don't think Ronaldo is to an extent, but not allowing some of these egotistical and dark art stars sort of define the key moments of the Euros.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a refereeing performance that I remember from the Euros, because you're right, that Argentina-Chile was one for the ages, we'll put it that way. We're not going to be forgetting that anytime soon. I really can't think of a referee who like stood out to me in the Euros, and that's a sign of a good thing. Like, the best refereeing is when you don't really notice it.
And the only one I remember is Clattenburg, and that was only because of those instructions at the PK, which we could sort of talk about today, where they had that one issue with Homeboy coming off the line to make that save, and then they revamped that rule in the Euros that stutter steps were disallowed and keepers had to stay on the line.
Yeah, but even, I mean, Clattenburg is just a referee that you notice. Like, I notice him just because I'm aware of him from the EPL, and it's almost like Howard Webb, where you just see him and you go, oh, that's Clattenburg, that's Howard Webb, you know. But like, there have been big decisions in games. It's not like there haven't been moments where there have needed to be referees being tested. But, you know, by and large, it's been a reasonably well-refed tournament as a whole. And the one thing that you might criticize particular to this game was the whole stutter stepping thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like the stutter stepping thing has now entered the realm of handballs in my like the way I look at things, because I don't know what that rule, like, I don't know what a stutter step is, because it looked to me like there was some stutter stepping going on at this in this shootout, and the referee didn't seem to have an issue with any of it. But I don't know if you have a particular view on that, the way how that plays.
Well, I'm curious. I think to do that, we kind of got to break down the question into two parts. So the first question I would ask you is, on the whole, remove this tournament, how do you feel about PK? Not as a solution to a game, But how do you feel about the approach in PKs in general? Like, because there's a potential to see a stutter step as essentially stopping after the goalie has to react, and then you just kind of get to take your extra. I don't mind it as long as goalies are allowed to come off the line and lunge forward. If you even the field and allow goalies to do the same, which is what happened before they started freaking out about the rule, I'm totally fine with that. I think that that sort of adds to the excitement of PKs. But if you're giving all of these advantages to the kicker or to the spot taker in a scenario that is already basically having the PK taker playing with loads of house money, then I think even from just a fan perspective, it sort of lessens the excitement because it almost comes more about who is really going to be the guy that botches it and misses it. There's not as much tension, whereas if you legitimately feel that the keeper has a decent shot to save some of these things, I think from a fan point of view, it escalates the excitement level of what you're watching.
Yeah, and there's a strategy to it. I'm not sure. I understand why they instituted this whole like cracking down on keepers coming off their line, but it's just the kind of thing where I wish they would be a little bit less. I think it would be easier if it was just taken on a case by case basis a little bit more, because I guess you could regulate like the kick taker as soon as they go into their swing on their shot, they can't, then you can come off the line, but then it just gets all really complicated. I think the way that you're talking about it, where it's just like, you knew what was right and what was wrong. Like, it's not the kind of thing that I necessarily think needs to be regulated. I think a referee should be able to stand there and see whether or not things were handled properly by the players like involved.
My only issue with this one was that the instructions seemed to be very, very clear to the goalie, and they even mentioned at the end of it that, you know, this technically would have been a violation, but the referee's chosen to allow it. So now you're talking about inconsistent enforcement of the rule. The
right.
Next time we see a goalie come off his line to make a save, I expect a call not to be made. If a call is made, then I'm going to have an issue with it. And once the tournament's over, I think we need to sit down and decide, okay, if kickers can do stutter steps, then we've got to find a way to give goalies another tool in their belt that they can sort of shake things up with. Because otherwise, it's not really a fair game of rock, paper, scissors.
Right, exactly. And to be quite honest, like, I think it's a better – penalties are already complicated enough without adding in this, like, disallowing of them. And that's a can of worms that I really don't want to see open. I just hope – like, it would have to be something really, really blatant for me to sit there and go, like, it's okay if he calls that back. And I just haven't seen anything really blatant from a keeper or a spot kicker at this point that would sit there for me to say, like, oh, they got to call that back, except for, like, you know, it would have been great if Poland had been able to pull this thing out. But,
I didn't hear the instructions the ref gave for this one either. So if the ref had really driven home that the keepers had to stay on their line, then he had a duty to call that. And that's the only thing I would say about that is if he had been issuing those instructions, then he botched it by not calling that. That being said, per our last show, I picked Portugal to win anyway because, you know, they seem to have profound luck in the semi or in the Euros. They just make it through. Nobody can explain it, but they're built for the Euros.
They're in the semifinal without having won a game in 90 minutes.
And they're in the semifinal for the fourth time in the last 5 Euros.
Yeah, I mean, so this is
and that fifth time was quarterfinal.
Right. And you said that last time that like Portugal just get to the semis. That's just what Portugal do, and it's what they do. And obviously they'll have us in either Wales or Belgium in that semifinal. But like, how incredible is it for a team to just like skimp their way through getting out of the group stage with three draws, getting through the first round?
I said I don't think I'd hate it if Ronaldo won
I would hate it. I would really hate it, but that's because I am a hater and I embrace that about myself when it comes to Ronaldo, and I would just very much not like it.
I'm very much Team Messi these days. I was a convert from Team Ronaldo to Team Messi, but I'll say this. I did watch the documentary about Ronaldo, and I do think that it definitely shows a much, much different side of him than what we get to see. And I think that Ronaldo is a complex guy. Like, he's a really complex guy. He's neither as douchey or saintly as people make him out to be. And I think that if you watch that documentary on him, and it's worth a watch, like, just watching him interact as a father, like, it's very touching. It really is. Like, this is a dude who does everything that he does to build a life for his kid, who is the most important thing in his world. And there's, you know, a lot of people have him pegged as, you know, a potential womanizer and this and that and the other. And really the truth couldn't be further. He's very much a loner. He very much just prefers to stay at home with his son and just spend time with a family. And that's just kind of how Ronaldo is. And I do think that there is that side of him that we all see, like, taking the – I loved the retweet that you put out today. Like, you should read that retweet. That retweet about from the Liverpool Echo writer, it deserves to be read on air.
Let me stall just a second while I scroll down to find it. Where is it? Christian Walsh? Yeah, that's right. I'll give the Ballon d'Or to whichever Portugal player says to Ronaldo, "You know what, mate? You're crap at free kicks. I'll have a go here." Was that the one?
Yes.
Because, yes. Ronaldo, I mean, okay, so let's talk about Ronaldo in this game. I thought he was pretty poor. He was having a bad game. Like, he botched that free kick. He botched pretty much every chance he got to shoot, scuffing shots just weakly, putting a shot in the side netting when he got through on goal. He really didn't have a good game. In a weird way, his teammates kind of bailed him out a little bit, even though he finally converted his penalty, which I guess he had missed. I don't remember what the stat was exactly, but something like he had missed 4 of 5 for Portugal, which is a really bad rate of shooting penalties. But,
surprisingly enough, neither Messi nor Ronaldo light the world on fire when it comes to taking PKs.
Yeah, yeah. Messi missed his in the shootout. Ronaldo didn't, which, is credit to Ronaldo. He took it well. But it's just interesting to me that Portugal had – you wouldn't peg Portugal to advance this far with Ronaldo looking this impotent. He's still a great player and his quality is evident, but he's not the best player on that
Do you think it has something to do with the amount of attention that he commands, though? Because
I'm sure
the individual quality of a guy like an Otto Sanchez or Nani, or if you can get one of these other players to step up and even have a marginal game putting balls into Nani and Renato Sanchez, then we kind of see why Bayern continue to be, for my money, one of the best scouting clubs in all of Europe. The rate with which Bayern sign 18, 19-year-old dudes that are seemingly able to just jump right into Bayern and play at what looks like a world-class level is stupid. Like, it's stupid. My hat's off to them, man. Like, you know, Coleman, Costa, who cares? Bring them in. Like, they look like geniuses by the time they're done. And Sanchez, you know, he showed a nice bit of skill today with his goal. I mean, granted, it took a deflection, as you mentioned, but I think that the attention that Ronaldo was drawing sort of freed up some of those other spaces. So,
well, and I think fear of Ronaldo has
say it's difficult to assess sometimes.
Yeah, oh, totally. And like what I was saying is that the fear of Ronaldo, particularly on the counterattack, has definitely affected the way that teams have played Portugal. I think it's why every game that Portugal has been involved in this tournament has been the worst game of the tournament. Like, Portugal haven't been involved in a great game, but I think that's because everyone knows how deadly that Ronaldo can be, and opposition teams are really, instead of necessarily going out to play their own game, there's clearly something in the back of their minds the entire way through of, don't let Ronaldo beat you, don't let Ronaldo beat you, don't let Ronaldo beat you, and that sort of affects the way that the game plays out. So yeah, it's definitely not like Ronaldo isn't having an impact. He absolutely is, just by being on the pitch, but you know, he's not having the direct impact that you might expect. That you like at the beginning of the tournament, if you had told me that
certainly
Portugal
would
be in the semifinals,
with free kicks.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know how you tell Ronaldo that he can't take free kicks anymore, but like Christian Wall said, like somebody's got to do it, and that person should be treated as a hero, because you know, you've got to believe there's somebody out there who can at least put in, if not score,
like,
goals.
Like, here's what we're going to find out, man. Like, once Ronaldo retires from international play, we are going to discover that one of those players for Portugal is, like, Payet and Andre Pirlo, like, all rolled into one and can deliver set-piece mastery like you wouldn't believe. And he's been having to, like, bide his times in the shadows because Ronaldo had to take those all-important free kicks and drill them into the wall.
Yeah, that would not be a surprise at all. And it's a storyline to watch going into the quarters now. Like, are they going to persist with this? Because it's, like, the statistics on this have now reached sort of ridiculous levels of how Ronaldo cannot do anything from free kicks, which feels like a random mental block that he's got. But either way, you know, Portugal's going to get Wales or Belgium, and because I don't know what I think about Wales or Belgium yet, like, I wonder if I should just start, like, emotionally gearing up for Portugal in the final, because
I think they can get past Wales with ease because they'll have that confidence, and I think that Bale and Ronaldo will neutralize each other to a certain degree, that fear of both on the counter. But against Belgium, I do not see Belgium fearing Ronaldo as an individual on the counter. I think Belgium will have all the trust in the world that somebody like Witsel, and I think Denayer will be playing because Vertonghen is completely out with, I think it was ACL or ligament damage of some kind.
Oh, was it that bad?
Yeah, he's out for the tournament.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he's completely out for the remainder of the tournament. So you would expect that Jason Denayer, the Manchester City product, will probably slide in there and take over that spot. And even though he's a young guy, he's really shown himself to be very proficient and capable every time he's played for Belgium, even against top quality teams. And I just don't see Belgium, especially having Courtois in goal, and having, you know, pick your position, and Belgium's got somebody there who I just love doing this because it's fun. It's not really how I determine whether or not people are good. But pick a position in Belgium, have like an 80 rating or above on FIFA. And you know, Witsel might not be the world's most feared center defensive midfielder. He might not be Sergio Busquets. But, you know, Witsel does a damn fine job. And whatever he can't do, Raja and Ian Golan will happily do and do dirty.
I heard Witsel described today, because Witzel's been linked to Liverpool, which I don't know if I buy the link, but still. Somebody was describing him I forget how they described him. Basically, the not shit Fellaini. If Fellaini was really talented, he would be.
If Fellaini were really talented and a little bit shorter, he would be Witsel. And one of the things about Witsel too is that he, like most, you know, Belgian players, it's not just defense. There's an element of creativity going forward. He really knows how to pick out a pass out of the back. I just don't think that between, you know, Vermaelen and, or, you know, whichever combination of center has that Belgium decide to go with, I just don't know that they're going to have that same timid approach to Ronaldo that some of these weaker vans might have to employ, because Ronaldo, frankly, will embarrass, you know, whatever center defensive midfielder they have.
Right. I can see that. Either way, it's going to be an intriguing matchup, if not one that, like, I'm super excited for. Like, I couldn't say that I'm really excited for this semifinal now, because it's Portugal and because I hate Ronaldo and I'm a hater, and I just am just going to be miserable watching it, because it's just going to be dreading a final that Portugal could perhaps advance to. But, you know, at least we have our first sort of storyline for that final four. And it was a good, you know, it was a good start to the weekend, at least with this going to penalties and being semi-intriguing.
Yeah, and I mean, here's, this thing is going to get interesting one way or the next. I think Germany-Italy is going to be a fantastic tell-all, and I think Iceland versus France will be better than people anticipate. The Euros, I guess you could say, may not have been as good, if you want to go with a hot take. They've definitely been somewhat of a letdown, especially in terms of individual talent. Like, coming into this tournament, there was almost a notion of how many of these players are going to turn themselves into extremely desirable transfer targets, which is almost always bad business, per Freakonomics. But it happens after every major tournament. You know, you saw James move from Monaco to Real Madrid after, well, frankly, getting robbed of the golden boot at the World Cup. But, you know, we haven't really seen that. We've seen some no-names pop up, I guess, and put in some super solid performances, but up until today, we hadn't even heard Lewandowski's name called. And after
and
that,
we only heard it once.
Yeah, we only heard it once.
No, I agree with you. I think part of the reasons the perception of this tournament has been disappointing is that the individual talent hasn't stepped up and been. We haven't seen anyone have a truly great performance. Maybe Payet, but I think he's had some big moments. And it's not like it was all that surprising if you've watched West Ham this year. But what I have really enjoyed from this tournament is the team performances. You know, no one's going to be out there scrambling to sign any of these Icelandic players, but man, have they put in great team performances. Ireland and Hungary and Northern Ireland and Wales and all of these countries have really come to play. And it's sort of epitomized by a team like Italy, where, you know, if I'm looking at it now, if they can make it past Germany, they're the clear favorite to win this in my mind. And that's a team that's just a team. Like, it's not superstars that are getting people through. And I'm thinking maybe the lack of superstar moments, like even Ronaldo hasn't had very many big superstar-y moments. And I just don't want that perception to like to cloud the fact that it still has been a pretty entertaining tournament for sure. Like, the games have not, there's nothing I hate more than like a 4-0 just drubbing that's over by the 40th minute. Unless my teams are involved in it on the winning side. So, you know, games have gone down to 90 minutes, and how many late winners have been scored in this tournament? I think it's been full of excitement, even though this particular game, wouldn't be up there. But there've been exciting games. It's been an exciting enough tournament for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there have been some dull games. But there's also been 3-3 Portugal versus Hungary. I mean, Iceland's games have been nothing short of enthralling, even if, you know, a low tally of goals were scored, 2-1, however you want to call it. Like, there's been palpable drama. The tension's been there. And one of the things I've enjoyed the most is watching the players celebrate. You know, I think we can all agree that Iceland's clap is pretty much the balls, the tank,
the greatest thing,
the whole jugular region there. I think between that and the haka, like every team should be forced to do that. But I don't know how far Portugal can go to wrap this thing up. I think it just largely depends on their draw. I don't think a final is without question. But I do think that Belgium represents a pretty significant stumbling block for them. And I would be surprised if the Portuguese got past Belgium. But if they do, then don't necessarily count them out in the final, because we haven't seen a really complete performance out of anyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why this thing is so up in the air. I still feel like the winner of the whole tournament is going to come out of the other side of the bracket, but I'm pretty sure I still would have felt that way if Portugal had advanced. I mean, if Poland had advanced. So we're sort of sitting exactly where I thought we'd be, where it's still basically in my mind, this quarterfinal between Germany and Italy is for the whole thing, or for the whole tournament, unless Iceland like makes my year by doing a Leicester. But this one really doesn't change where I think the tournament's going to go.
No, I'm 100% on board with you, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow's offering between Belgium and Wales. I'm super curious to see how the Belgians will play. I was going to say build, but there's no guarantee that they will. So we'll just go with play after their extraordinarily impressive showing against Hungary. Quick thoughts on that game?
On Belgium-Wales? Or?
Yeah, on Belgium-Wales.
On Belgium-Wales. I every game I've sat here and thought about Belgium as being this sort of sleeping giant that wasn't quite living up to what they could be. If Eden Hazard has another game like he had against Hungary, then Wales, Portugal, whoever they face is going to have a very, very difficult time of it. But I'm still not sure. Like, I have a sneaking suspicion that Hungary might have just sort of reached the end of their line in this tournament. And I wish I felt more confident in Belgium. I'm still picking Belgium to win that game. wish I felt more confident, but that's a team that has to get through their mental blocks as much as anyone else is, because they have the talent to compete with anybody on that field. So you're basically
saying you're as confident in Belgium as you are in, say, a random person's ability to win one of those carnival games where you have to land a ring on a bottle?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. It's sort of, actually, it's more like I'm as confident in Belgium's ability to win as I am somebody with reasonable shooting ability going up to one of those carnival games where it's just simple shooting the basketball, like three-point shot or whatever. And maybe you're at the carnival where they're legit and that hoop is the right size, and maybe you're at the carnival where they've bent it to make sure that your shot cannot go in. I don't, like, it's the Belgium's mental state that's going to determine whether or not that hoop is legit or not. So it's sort of a gamble. It's a roll of the dice. It's a gamble I'd make on Belgium showing up and getting through this round. But it's also one that I acknowledge, like, we could turn up tomorrow and it could be like Wales blew them out of the water because Belgium didn't show up, and it would just be like, yeah, it didn't surprise me that much.
Gareth Bale launched off for 4 goals.
Yeah, Gareth Bale hat trick. Like, would that really, like, shock me? No, not really. Even though I'm not going to sit here and predict that Wales will get through, but Belgium's a little bit like the USC of this tournament.
Wouldn't the final four of Wales, Portugal, Iceland, and Italy just be amazing?
It would be beautiful. Let's put my official bid in for that lineup there for the final four, because if anyone predicted that, then they are just flat out lying.
Yeah, truth. Just on Iceland alone. My final thoughts on that. I think it'll be an interesting game for Belgium. Like I said, I'm curious to see how they'll come out, how they'll attack after Hungary. Hungary did look a little bit tired and like maybe they'd reached the zenith of what they were supposed to do. But who knows? As you said, it's hard to gauge because Hazard was absolutely electric. And the thing about him is that if he starts gaining confidence, that's De Bruyne is only going to feed off that, and this team could only get better. So it will not shock me at all if Belgium cruise easily past Wales. But I got low confidence. I have fairly high confidence that Belgium are going to win. I just do not have an extraordinary amount of confidence in their ability to win impressively or to do so in a way that would suggest they're ready to take on the best of the best in the finals. Like, I could totally see them playing Wales 1-1 the whole way and then somehow getting, like, a De Bruyne PK at the very end of it. Like, that would just – that'd be very Belgium. So
– exceedingly.
Yeah, outside of that, we will be back tomorrow briefly to talk about Belgium and Wales, and hopefully we'll have some delicious Gareth Bale man bun excitement to discuss. Any final thoughts? Any proud statements that you want to make on Zlatan now letting the world know that he's decided to grace the Premier League with his presence?
I'm going to steal something from Twitter, and I apologize for the person who said it because I don't remember who they were. Zlatan isn't going to Manchester United. Manchester United is going to Zlatan.
I think one of my favorite tweets that I saw was now that Now that Zlatan has joined the Premier League, here are my top five. And it was like Hazard, Aguero, like Kane, so on and so forth. Alexis Sanchez was in there, but like Zlatan was nowhere to be found. Like you absolutely could not find Zlatan in there. So that's about what I expect. But you know what right now is?
What?
It is official Pep Day. Woo! So on that note, I think it's a fantastic place to end this bitch. I am going to go check out all the delicious announcements on Pep Guardiola, your new Manchester City manager. It has been a pleasure, Alicia. And we will be back tomorrow, right? You want to bring us on up?
Yeah, we will be back tomorrow, and I think that's about it. I think you have a particular way of signing these things off, and I just am blanking on how you do it.
So, now we will catch you next time on Now You're Up with Alicia and Josh.
Exactly that.